Coming up on TMS, 3D printer sauna.
Calgary man strikes again.
Walmart asks too much.
Give me my damned popcorn.
No. Losing the king.
App time.
Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
All right, it's TMS PM, and we're here for June 1st, 2017, the PM edition of the show, 3:38 PM in the Mountain Time Zone. Brian and I are here. Hello, Brian Ibbett.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Thank you. Our names are now out there. We've done our podcast duty.
It is now traceable.
Yep. They can find us. I don't know how they did it, Marty, but they found me.
They found us, Marty.
They did it. So, Brian, before we get going today on this fifth episode a week that we do because people support us on Patreon, I wanted to play a little something for you. So, as you know, we've had some recent competition in the form of Todd and Aaron and the Morning Stream.
I know. I can't wait to attend the annual event that they put together.
Yeah.
Called Todd-tacular.
It's going to be great.
The end of June. And
yep. They have Ron Merritt there and
and Brent Ibbotson.
Yeah. Brent Ibbotson. It's going to be great. It's like that. It's like the fake friends that on Seinfeld that Elaine had that were right, like Jerry
the
and them. Yeah. The doppelgangers. It's kind of like that. But Todd and Aaron have a portion of their show that they do where they give the weather, and for some reason, unbeknownst to me, they give the weather from an Australian lady's voice.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why. I listened.
I haven't even heard this. Do you have that? Any of that cap?
I don't have it handy, but if you go into any of their episodes and you skip ahead till you see like a weather screen,
yeah,
it's right. It's like in the middle of every one of their episodes, and that's how they get their weather. So we have a listener. His name is Ben. He said, "I don't want them to have all the fun." So here's this, and he sent me the following that I'm going to play for you now. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm so ready.
All right, here it is. This is Ben, I presume from Australia, with the following. Oh, why won't it play? You know, it's important that this plays or else the whole point is lost. Hang on one second. Why won't you play? Okay, here it is. Got it. Nailed it. Found it.
Wait, okay.
Or did I? Okay, I did. Here it is.
Thanks, Scott and Brian, and here's the weekend weather. Salt Lake City, Utah is looking fine across the weekend with tops of 34 degrees centigrade, which is 93 degrees Fahrenheit. Ooh. Moscow is looking forward to rain with highs of 13 degrees. Beijing will be sunny on Saturday with a developing cloud on Sunday with 28 and 32 degrees respectively. And Johannesburg will be shivering through lows of 3 and 5 degrees. On Saturday, it will be 21 degrees, Sunday 19. That's the weather for now. Back to you, Scott and Brian, where it's always fine.
I love that. Oh, my God. Can we have them do that every Thursday PM show?
Well, hold on. There's a piece of this I haven't heard yet.
That is how you do an Australian accent. Brian.
Oh. Is he giving you a little heat? Is that the deal?
A little, it's not an Australian accent. This is an Australian accent.
Yeah. I think you, his is better because he's from there.
I think because he's from Australia, I think he could do an Australian accent.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Anyway. And if he's not from Australia, boy, he's kicking butt with that Australian accent.
Yeah, I assume he is. He sent this to me via Facebook, so who knows? I don't know anymore.
Sure.
Who knows what's real? What's real? What's not real?
I studied at the Kevin Costner School of Accents.
Uh-oh.
So don't give me any grief.
That explains a lot. If you guys want
to... Hello, governor.
Is it part of the curriculum there that you lose the accent halfway through the movie that you're in? Is that the plan?
Okay. We have several classes during the day, and one of them is if there's enough action going on screen, you don't have to keep the accent up 101.
Oh, wow. That's a hell of a class.
That's class, yes.
I missed out. I should have gone to the the Costner University of Language Arts. Let's dive into a little something else. Brian's 3D printer sauna. I don't know what this means yet, but I'm pretty excited about the idea of it.
Right. So in 2015, maybe early 2016, I was kind of on a Kickstarter kick.
Yeah.
Where I was backing a lot of things. It's funny. I mean, it almost should be a tadpole post. Tell me the the date of the early, the promise date of the earliest Kickstarter that you have not received yet. Because I think I might have one from like 2014 that I still haven't received that's been promised and
yeah. Oh, I easily have like two of them probably that are that old, paid out. Yeah, that are at least that old. So yeah, I know the feeling.
So this is one of them that I think I was supposed to get like in July of last year, but it's called the Polisher and Polysmooth. And what it is, it's a combination 3D printer filament.
Okay.
Called Polysmooth. It's a special kind of PLA filament. And then a polisher, which looks like, it looks like the thing that merged Seth Brundle and The Fly. But it's not nearly that big.
Okay.
It's like a little desktop device. And if you're looking for this online, it's spelled Polysher, like Polysher.
Okay. Like the microphone, the Shure microphone name. That's what that reminds me of. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, yeah, don't spell it like that.
Yeah.
So what this thing is, so you do your 3D print using their filament and comes out normal, looks like any other 3D print that comes out. Then you put it in the polisher, which is like it looks like a sauna, basically. The little platform rises up. You put your 3D print on the little platform, and then it sinks back down into this machine. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you hit the start button, you turn a little knob to tell it how long you want it to be polished. And then for that 40 minutes or whatever, a vapor of isopropyl alcohol is emitted into this chamber. And it gets all cloudy. And there's some disco color lights in there to kind of make it, nifty looking. And the platform rotates. And you've got your little 3D print sitting on this little platform. I got it. It finally arrived yesterday. And I've been in the middle of this paid 3D print, but I felt like I've got to do something. I want to see how this thing operates.
Right.
So I 3D printed, won't surprise anybody, but 3D printed a Psyduck from Pokemon.
Oh, hey, look at that. Let's pull that up. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Look, he's all smooth.
He's all smooth and shiny. This is like it feels like it looks like a ceramic model. You can see some ridges there, and I probably could have done a longer polish. This was 40 minutes, but I'm only using 70% isopropyl alcohol, and I should get some like 90% isopropyl alcohol.
Okay. Well, that's fun to say a lot of times, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
I'll just say alcohol.
Okay.
But it makes it so you've got something that not only is really cool and smooth and looks like it's made out of glass, but when I paint this thing all yellow and stuff, it's going to look like an actual toy, you got from a store.
Not a 3D printed object.
Sure. 3D printed model. Exactly.
Right. This is hard to find, by the way.
Is it not?
It keeps wanting to change Shure to S-H-U-R from S-U-E-R-E, and then the website's...
No. It's S-H-E-R. Like if you spelled polisher, the real word, like, that guy's quite a pole polisher.
Wow.
Maybe you wouldn't use it in that phrase, but apple polisher. That guy's a total apple polisher.
There you go. That's the one. Oh, yeah. No. You're right. Here it is. Polysmooth and Polysher.
Yes.
Oh, so they make the same. That's both their products?
Those are both their products. So they make the filament, and then they make the machine cleans them up.
I see. There's that machine, too. All right.
Yeah.
So
it's really cool.
I'm going to take a wild guess. That the reason that you put sauna in there is the side effect of this is it sends a bunch of like air particles in the room that makes it seem like there's a little humidity in there.
Oh, no, not at all. And thank God for that, because while, it's not super harmful to breathe isopropyl alcohol, I'm going to say it one more time, it looks like a little sauna because of that mist, that mist vapor that goes into that little room. So Psyduck, it looks like he's standing on a little platform, rotating around in a circle, and this cloud of vapor, of alcohol vapor, is around him. That's why it looks like a sauna.
Oh, I see. So this is really interesting. And this just came today?
I came yesterday.
Came yesterday. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm watching the way this works. This is very interesting.
It must be really cool. Yeah.
Must be their Kickstarter. So what does this run somebody if they want this thing?
I don't remember. I think I paid $199 for it with with a couple rolls of filament. That might be 149. I can't remember.
So to be clear, it takes two pieces to this puzzle. The filament itself needs to be this filament. And then if you want the best out of it, you need the machine that will do this.
Correct. Yeah, you can't use it with standard PLA. I mean, maybe you could. I don't know. I'd be really eager to try my I've already primed him. I have a really cool Dr. Boom statue that I printed up.
Yeah.
And he's waiting to be painted, but I think I've primed him, so I don't think it would work. But I wonder if you could do it with a standard PLA. I think they said it won't work as well, but I wonder how well it would work.
Yeah. Is it hot? Does it heat up the alcohol?
No, okay. just
mist
it. Sprays it like a nebulizer.
Okay, that makes sense. And then this material, this particular material, is susceptible to smoothing based on the application of the alcohol. That makes sense.
Right, exactly.
This is really nifty. I had no idea this was even a thing. And so look at you, 2 years later, finally getting that.
I'll tell you really quickly about another thing I got that's really cool. It's sitting on my desk. If you're a freelance person, and I know you are, Scott.
I know you like it.
I see why you like it. There's this cool device called the Z-E-I. And I'm holding it up right now, and it looks like something out of Tron.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a little beep, beep, beep that floats
like
around.
Like a bit. I think a bit is what they were in Tron.
Yeah, Tron.
And what this is, like, you write on each face, you've got stickers and dry erase marker, and you write on each face the name of a client. And this thing is Bluetooth synced to your computer, or I think you can do it with your iPad or your phone. And when you set it down on your desk, you take it out of its little stand that keeps it upright like this. But when you take it out of its stand and put on your desk, whatever name is facing up is getting logged.
Okay.
So all right, I'm working on this client's work. I'm going to put it on my desk and set it with that name face up. Got a call from a client. I'm switching over to work on their stuff. I turn the face of this so that the other customer's face is up top.
All right.
And at the end of the day, you've got in your listing, you've got an accurate listing here of like, all right, I spent 18 minutes working on this client thing. I spent 2 hours working on this client thing, and you can export that to Harvest or to other programs that you use to do your time tracking for your billing.
That's cool.
It is really cool. I love this. This might be might be the favorite thing I've ever kickstarted.
Oh,
because
man,
it's so damn well done.
And again, was that a late one too then?
No, well, a month late. These guys were probably the most on it of any Kickstarter I've ever done. I think it was supposed to ship in February. I got it in May. So maybe 3 months late, 2 months late. Really cool.
As a couple of guys who have done Kickstarters before, we both know that pressure of must be on time. And I'm always surprised how few are. It's hard.
Yeah.
Like the book, we ended up doing it with my book, but I was so stressed out about that. I hated that.
Yeah.
I hate being stressed out about things being late. So, all right. Well done. That's awesome. I kind of want one of those too. Most of my projects are like flat rate, so I don't usually do time based.
Oh, that's cool. You're just like on retainer with your clients?
Yeah, or they'll say, here's a book cover. We have budget for 700 or something.
I'll either turn it down or
take it or whatever. So it's usually flat rate like that.
Well, if there's anybody out there who's thinking about getting one of these Zs, and again, it's Z-E-I is the name, and I think you can, it might be at Z-E-I.io or something like that. If you're thinking about getting one, let me know, because I kickstarted, I think I get a few 10% off coupons. So, so hit me up if you're thinking about buying one of these. I don't get any, basically the coupon just gives you 10% off. It doesn't like give me a little kickback or anything. Mm-hmm. So there's no benefit to me, but there is a benefit to you. So if you are thinking about buying it, then do that.
You know, it reminds me a little bit. It's like one of those, it's like going to one of those Brazilian meat places where they bring you meat on a stick and you have the little red and yellow
red and green thing up.
That's what it reminds me of.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's great. Well, look at, they did really well with this. Yeah, they made 313,000 pounds or euros. Is that what's the C with the two lines? Is that a pound?
That's the euro.
Oh, that's euro. So they did euros.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That's pretty awesome.
What does the Star Wars money symbol look like, Scott?
The Star Wars money symbol looks like. Oh, I just saw this in I was playing a little bit of Old Republic and I saw it in there. It looks like. My head. I have to look at it in my head. It's like a. I'm gonna have to look it up.
I'll just tell you. It looks like a seven.
That's right. The seven with lines in it. Lines. Yep. You're totally right. You're totally right. I want to see it, though. Galactic Credit Standard, Wikipedia. Here you go, chat. That's it right there. The seven with the two lines on top. I don't like it. It annoys me.
Yeah, it kind of annoys me, too. It's like they said, what's the closest thing we can do for money? A money symbol. Mm-hmm. but not actually have it look like money.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to click on a link here, a spam link. Not a spam link, but a kind of a junk link off to the side that says, The Wonder Woman You've Never Seen. Okay?
Oh, no.
Let's see what that is. Let's see what it is. Let's see where it takes us.
All right. It's
just, Wonder Woman promises, blah, blah. Oh, you know what it is? It's the one about, what's her beak from Friday Night Lights, how she was Wonder Woman for like a hot minute.
Oh, Adrienne Palicki.
Yeah. Which,
she's, what's she doing now? She's on that, she was in some movie I watched, right? And I recommended it. I was like, oh, yeah.
And then I had said, oh, she was in the first John Wick. And you were like, oh, yeah, that's right. And then,
we lost
track of where she's at now.
But that's as far as it went.
She's some regular in something now, right? Something. Isn't there some regular thing?
She was supposed to be a regular in that, spinoff, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff.
Oh, that's what it was. Maybe I'm thinking of that and it never happened. She's cursed on TV outside of
Marvel's Most Wanted. Yeah, it's too bad. Is she the new John C. McGinley?
Yeah. I don't think she wants that title, but yes. The answer is yes. All right, everybody. Good stuff all around. I love hearing about your 3D printing foibles. Not foibles. Adventures. It's not foibles. It's always good. Here's your news.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news. Wait for it. Brought to you by...
Trevor Harrison is a man roaming the country searching for his place when an old friend contacts him with a client who could use his special skills. What skills are those? Trevor is a very large, tough man with psychic powers. However, this world has full-blown magic and many powerful wizards. Now a woman wants protection from a group of these
See? It's happening again!
The same sentence. Now a woman wants protection from a group of these powerful beings who may want her dead. Can Trevor protect her life? Can even figure out from where the danger is coming? Poison Magic is a new novel by Tad Pooligan Josh Sanders, a.k.a. The Mule. It is up for pre-order now on Inkshares. Come help one of our own realize his lifelong dream and get the first book in a great new world. A world with psychics and cyclops, wizards and weddings, magic and muscle cars. Go to inkshares.com/books/poison-magic and pre-order your copy today.
Well done. Brian, you did it. You laughed a little, but it's okay.
Recovered. That was a little bit of a recovery.
Yeah.
I have a little 3D printed cube with very pointy corners that I kept in my hand and squeezed when I needed to get back on track.
Did it really work?
It did work.
All right. I have to do that from now on when I'm talking to my mother-in-law or something. That's terrible.
Well, Scott, why is your hand bleeding?
Shut up, Mom. Let's talk about Calgary for a minute, if you don't mind. And no, I'm not talking about us pulling out of the Paris Agreement. I think that's stupid. No. Or the fact that it sounds like he thought it was an agreement with Paris.
I think somebody said that he pulled out because he thought the Paris Accord was a vehicle.
That's pretty good, too. Yeah, the one I saw, literally, it's a quote from him where he was in Pittsburgh and he says, I was voted in by the people of Pittsburgh, not the people of Paris. And my head went, oh, shit, he thinks it's an agreement with Paris. He really does. He thinks this is a French agreement.
Commander Paris.
This is where
please
people...
Please report to my ready room. Are you from Paris?
He literally thinks the place they met to do the deal is about the deal.
Right.
You guys can barely handle it. That is the dumbest freaking thing. Yeah. Oh, okay. Anyway.
At least the consolation I'm taking is that he's saying they want to work something out so that they've got a little bit more time or leeway to get to a more reasonable percentage of carbon emission, reduction.
Yeah.
It's not a, no, F you, we're not going to reduce our carbon. As a matter of fact, now that you've gotten me mad, we're going to make more. We're going to make more carbon. And we're going to pump it out into Brian's 3D printer machine.
Exactly. And it's going to have a sauna of alcohol. Right. By the way, a sauna alcohol sounds really good to a certain percentage of people listening to us right now. That probably sounds really good. An entire sauna where it is nothing but thick air of alcohol you could drink and inhale.
I wonder. You know what? I wonder if, like, if you did a tequila sauna or a gin sauna.
Yeah.
Gin sauna. So that's, by the way, the new playable character on Heroes of the Storm is going to be gin sauna.
Yeah, gin sauna. Finally, they're pulling that character out and giving him the time he needs.
But okay, so like a gin sauna or like a, I guess even like a gin and lime or something.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you, because you're not ingesting as much as an actual drink. I wonder if you could do it. Because you have, they have nebulizers that do marijuana, right?
Oh, yeah. So why not, like, if you put tequila in a nebulizer, would that be the equivalent of, I mean, it would, no matter what, it's become dispersed, so you're not going to have the same effect as if you drank it directly, right? But you could, okay, here's a better question. If you're putting it on a sauna rock in the middle of a sauna and the room is just filled with tequila mist, would you soak it into your pores and get kind of tipsy that way?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because, you know, I've got a nebulizer here that does these little, that does water mixed with these little
like oils.
Scents. Yeah,
little,
oils.
Little right. Oils, yeah. Essential oils.
Right. And I wonder, all right, folks, you can, Nerdtacular, you can either go to Smoke Monster or you can come to Brian's room where he will have a nebulizer filled with gin.
Yeah. If you go to Smoke Monster, you're breathing in the worst thing ever. So I think it's a pretty good. It's a good alternative, I think.
Exactly. Right. Anyway, okay. I'm kidding, people. I'm not doing that.
So what was I going to say? I forgot. Oh, Calgary Man.
Calgary Man.
Has so he did this thing. He strapped 100 industrial-sized helium balloons to a lawn chair before sailing over 14,000 feet in the air. Got called unconscionably stupid by the presiding judge, which is a harsh thing for a Canadian to say.
Sorry, but you're being unconscionably stupid.
Sorry, though. Sorry. He went into a flight path of several commercial aircraft and a passenger 747 over a densely populated metropolitan city. I kind of agree that it was pretty stupid.
Yeah, if you go into the flight path, I mean, all right, doing this above your backyard and maybe going like, you know, residential drone height or something like that is one thing.
Yeah.
It's still, if you fall.
Yeah. You're dead.
You're either going to be dead or maimed or, you know, or broken in places.
You'll be vegetable is what you'll be.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out if we read the story, but did he have like a, did he have a parachute or something like he could?
They don't. Oh, that's interesting. They don't say in here. Actually, I read the entire article and they don't say whether he had backup gear. That's a really good question. I wouldn't do this without backup gear.
It's like you, all of a sudden you get a swarm of bees. Well, a swarm of, hummingbirds coming through.
Oh no! Ah! I'm Calgary.
Pull the cord. Oh, I'm safe. There goes my lawn chair. But at least I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Yeah, I don't know what this guy was thinking, but he did say this. This is his quote. "Quote: I have the greatest story to tell for the rest of my life," says Daniel Boria, age 27, when asked outside his sentencing hearing if it was worth it. "I understood the risks, but if you do anything, you're going to get in trouble. If you don't do anything, you won't be in trouble, but you won't get anywhere either." I kind of get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But let's sit down for a minute, millennial boy, and let's have a conversation, okay?
There's levels to that. Like, I don't know what it's like to shoot a man in Reno just to watch him die. But I don't feel like I need to do that just so I can know what it feels like.
Yeah, and guess who else didn't do that? Johnny Cash didn't even do that. He just sings about it, so.
Yes. He's a liar. He's
hanging his oats out, trying to have some fun here. It sounds like this Boria guy pleaded guilty in December to dangerous operation of an aircraft floating into Calgary airspace on July of 2015. So it's been a while. Boria tied industrial-sized balloons to a lawn chair as part of a plan to parachute. Oh, no, he did have a parachute. There it is.
No, he just said he tied it to as part of a plan to parachute over there. Oh, he was going to jump.
Yeah, see, right. That's the part I missed, too. It didn't make sense to me at first.
Oh, smart. So he was going to let the balloons in the lawn chair just continue to go higher into commercial airspace.
Yeah, until they either got hit by a plane or popped and fell and killed somebody.
Great.
Dumbass.
All right. I have to ask Stephanie Ray, Canada, who's in our chat room right now.
Yeah.
And I know there's a couple other people from Canada, but is Calgary the Florida of Canada? And if not, what is the Florida of Canada?
Yeah, because my temptation might be wherever Ford, that Rob Ford guy which was Toronto.
That might be the Florida.
But I don't know if that's fair to say Toronto is the Florida or not. So, yeah, let's hear what she says.
We have three yeses in the chat room right away.
Oh, wow.
Stephanie from Canada, from Hikikomori, Cruz, and Captain Kipper all say yes.
Wow.
Calgary is the Florida of Canada.
And Jeannie's right. They are our Canadian consultants today.
That's right.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for your service.
I'll take you right now to Stephanie Ray in Canada.
So
what's the Florida of Canada, Stephanie?
Why do you think, other things in Calgary, have you heard of other stories in Calgary where things are weird, or are we just basing it on this one? I guess
we're
basing
it on this one, but it does feel like we don't hear a lot of stories from Saskatoon. We don't hear a lot of stories from Banff or New Brunswick or Vancouver. It does, it feels like Calgary comes up more in these stories.
I think you're right. I think you're totally right.
Where's Trailer Park Boys?
They're east, so... Or no, I'm sorry, they're... now I don't know. I think they're east. They're far east. You know who's hearing this is Jeff Sire, and he's like screaming at his microphone or whatever, because he... But I think he lives near them, and that's out east, most east, which is like French Canada. What's the... No, where'd Bo live? It's...
Nova Scotia looks like. So it's Dartmouth, Nova Scotia.
There you go. And that's far east, right? Isn't it? It's right next door to Toronto, across the street from Ontario.
Nova Scotia is east.
Okay. And so, yeah, that's Trailer Park Boys over there.
It's down by the, furthest east part of, I guess Newfoundland is furthest east, but it's like,
right.
It's one of the islands off of,
the
country,
whatever that's called, the nation, the chunk of land. Do they is that near what's the capital of Canada? It's
Toronto.
Ottawa. Is that near Ottawa? Yeah. Is Ottawa
it is near Ottawa?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ottawa and Montreal are are west of Maine. Nova Scotia and Newfoundland and New Brunswick are east of Maine.
Okay. East of Maine. It's a good book. You should read it.
East of state of Maine.
East of Maine. Let's talk about Walmart for a minute.
Okay.
The Walmarts are asking employees to deliver packages on their way home from work.
I love it. I love how Amazon is like, we're considering drone delivery and we're figuring out new ways to and Amazon lockers to get your stuff a little bit quicker. Walmart's like, hey, do you mind running this over this guy on your way home?
Hey, Chad, you go past this street, right? Yeah, it's totally what they're doing. Walmart's newest tactic in the fight against the online giant Amazon is asking their employees to deliver orders on their way home from work. The idea, Walmart executive said Thursday, is to cut costs on the so-called last mile of deliveries when packages are driven out to customers' homes. Often the most expensive part of the fulfillment process is that. Just makes sense. We already have trucks moving orders from fulfillment centers to stores for pickup. That's why they got that giant monstrosity out near St. George. I freaking hate that thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got the biggest, I think it's Walmart's largest distribution center, and it is just a human construct of it's awful, Brian. Trucks everywhere, and it's just this nondescript forever building in the middle of this beautiful Red Rocks area. It sucks. I hate it.
Wow.
Anyway, let's see. He's the executive of Walmart e-commerce business and was the founder of Jet.com. So this guy, I guess, knows his stuff. The more I think about it, though, I mean, what are you getting when someone delivers it to you? Last mile delivery. Well, you're getting some dude in a car or a truck. And we think of Fed.
Who's trained. Sure. Who's vetted.
Sure. Okay, those are good points.
Yeah. Some disgruntled Walmart employee knowing that I have a big screen TV and a... and a PS4 Pro and a Nintendo Switch or something, right?
Or or even just a greeter who gets lost. Like, I don't know where
right
I am.
Now they got my phone number.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Larry from Walmart. I see is black.
It's all dark. Yeah, I don't know what to think of this. Now that you've said that, I now wonder. Now I worry. I mean, if there was a vetting process or we had some acknowledgement of that side of this, then maybe I'd feel a little better about it. But
Yeah. It feels like there's accountability with UPS and DHL and FedEx that they just wouldn't have with Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And really, yeah. I mean, Robaby in the chat room brings up, Larry, did you deliver that PS4? It's like, yeah. I mean, all you need is some guy to figure out. This big screen TV is worth less or worth more than 1 month of work, and I could go find another job.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
I totally delivered. He wasn't home, so I rang the doorbell and I put on his doorstep, and I don't know what happened from that point.
Yeah, hell, I don't know. I'm in charge of that, too. I got to go stock shoes in the department over there. Yeah, I don't know now. Now I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. Boy, whenever I hear stuff like this, it just makes me... I don't know, it makes me wonder if even the great Walmart's days, not numbered necessarily, but they're going to have to change to accommodate what online has done to them.
Yeah, this rings of janky.
Yeah, something's weird about it. Yeah. Here's some final jank for you. Deprived of popcorn at a movie theater, a Tennessee man assaults a cop. Nothing worse than when you can't get your popcorn. So what do? You assault a police officer. It makes perfect sense. 50-year-old Tennessee man, aren't they always, was arrested. I don't mean always from Tennessee. I mean always 50.
Always 50 years old.
Yeah. And charged with assault and disorderly conduct after he could not buy the popcorn he wanted while attending a movie. Did not say what the movie is, or did they? Nope. I'm always curious about that. Paul West of Clarksville, Tennessee. Actually, you know what? For fun here, what movie is out right now they might see? What would a guy who's that pissed about popcorn, what do you think his movie choice would be?
I'm really hearing good things about that King Arthur.
Yeah, I heard that's real good. I like me some swords. Hold on. Rotten Tomatoes will have a list of at the box office.
Baywatch. Yeah, it is Baywatch.
It probably is Baywatch, yeah.
Yeah.
I won't see that Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
I like that angle, Alexandre Daddario.
Mm-hmm. I think Beauty and the Beast is still showing at my local theater. Here's the deal. He punched and tried to bite the police officer who responded to the scene because he was charged with throwing an empty popcorn container at a theater employee. I had never had nobody upset over popcorn, says Noel, a civilian employee who previously worked 22 years on the Clarksville police force. The town is 45 minutes northwest of Nashville. Police said in the statement that they had responded to a report of, quote, a man who is irate because the theater concession stand was closed and they would not sell him his popcorn.
Here comes the meat right here of the story.
Yep. West took an empty popcorn container from the trash and demanded a refill. Burying the lead.
Right. It's like it wasn't deprived of popcorn. He tried to freaking game the system by grabbing somebody's discarded popcorn bucket.
Yep.
First of all, ew.
Yeah, gross. I would never do that. Oh my gosh, never.
Yeah.
Ever, never, right, unless I'm starving.
You don't know what people...
Yeah. I'd have to be in a very precarious situation for me to do that.
Right.
After staff refused to fill the container, he threw it at the employee, knocked over a display, and disappeared into the theater. I like that.
They'll never find me in here.
Wee! He just runs in there. We took an empty popcorn container. I already did that. Officer Jennifer Rankin responded to the complaint. Went to the damage or saw the damage West had caused. Damage, really? Damage? We're going to call it damage? Okay, fine.
Well, he knocked over a display stand.
Yeah, come on. They found him in the theater and attempted to detain him, at which point he threw a trash can at her and punched her several times in the face. He also tried to bite Rankin. Rankin suffered from minor injuries from the assault. He is now charged with assault, disorderly conduct, aggravated assault, and resisting on Tuesday morning during his arraignment. Montgomery County officials said he was held in Montgomery County Jail on $22,500 in bond. And there was no record of an attorney assigned to him.
Date was mortified.
Yes, his date could not believe how bad this night had gone.
His Tinder date was mortified.
Should have swiped left. Wait, do you swipe? Yeah, left for don't like him, right if you like him.
No idea.
That's the deal. And in Grindr, I think you do the same thing. Not that I'd know. I'm not a member of Grindr. I know nothing about the gay app, okay? Let's take a break. When we come back, app recommendations and your Twitter questions. Before that, A little music, please.
Sure. How about something going out to something going out to me? Because this isn't a request. This is a Indie in the Middle. This is cool, and this is I feel like just what I need for going into the weekend. Now we've played some, you know, some slow indie tracks, some very heartfelt ballads. We've played some weird stuff. This is a band called the Retromanics. And I swear to God, these guys have figured out the formula for a song. So originally I was listening to this, came in the mail, and I put it on. I was like, all right, this is pretty good. I continued working. And then I forgot about it, and it played a second time. And it started up the second time. I was like, oh, I'm liking this a lot. I am really liking this a lot. So if you are on the edge, once you hear this, if you're like, I don't know, maybe I kind of like this, maybe I don't, just fire it up again. Just, you know, scroll your little finger back on the podcast player and listen to it again. And I promise you, you'll enjoy it. If you enjoy it a little bit, you'll enjoy it a lot more the second time through. This is a band called, like I said, the Retromanics. This is the only song I know of. This came out at the beginning of May, May 9th. And, these guys are awesome. Really, really liking the Retromanics. Here's their song, Dance, Dance, Dance.
Danced Cubed. Here it is. Okay, that was awesome.
Was that great?
Yeah, I want to get more of that. They have a whole album of that kind of thing?
No, that's one song. The only song they've released.
It's really great.
It is. It's so hooky and catchy and simple, and it's like Scissor Sisters meets Justin Timberlake meets a little bit of Daft Punk and Pharrell Williams or something.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I think that's real good.
Here's what I think people should do. I think we should make, because TV Zegon or somebody put together a green screen version of that jury dance video, right? We should make a 3 minute, 2 minute and 16 second YouTube video of jury dancing with various backgrounds that song.
I like that a lot. Yeah, that jury dance here, everybody, if you don't know what I'm talking about, there you go.
Somebody should. I'm not saying we should, but somebody should.
Yeah, somebody should get on that. I don't know who that's going to be, but somebody out there get on that and let us know how it goes. That was really great. I liked it a lot. All right, how about we do... Oh, I know what we're going to do. One of these.
What are we gonna do?
This right here. Check this out. Burp, 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 burp. Burp, 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 burp. App Slappy. Let's take a minute and talk about apps that we like and that we've been using and see what we think here. So I'm going to start with an app. It's a card game. And I mentioned it last week when Dan was here because I wanted to know if it was any good. And I have since played it a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And I've decided it's one of my favorite new games on the App Store. I've been playing it on my iPad because it's kind of smallish on the phone. A little hard to read stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I play it on the iPad Pro. Love it on the iPad.
Yeah, much better on a bigger surface, I think. Some of these games just don't scale well that way, and this is one of them. But the actual game is pretty incredible, and I'm going to tell you all about it. The game is called, I think I'm saying this right, Jaipur? Is that how you'd say it?
Jaipur.
Jaipur.
Jaiwala.
I'm in one of the prequels here. It's pretty good. It's basically a card game where you play against AI or there is an online mode, although you have to create an account to do it, which kind of bugs me, but whatever. I just want to get in and play. I don't want to go through a bunch of sign-up hoops. I freaking hate that. Or at least give me like the sign-in through Facebook option or something. I just want to get done. But it's a game where the entire time, one of my favorite things about it is it reminds me of these old Impressions city-building games where in the background is some really great period-appropriate music that matches the theme of everything. And in the background, you hear kind of ancient bazaar somewhere in Persia. You know, it's like this very Persian sort of thing going on. And the music just really sets the mood for me. And then the goal of the thing is you're like sitting down with merchants in ancient Persia. And you are trading goods. And those goods are gold and silver and diamonds and leather and herbs and stuff like that.
Tea,
not herbs. And the way it works is you get dealt a handful of cards and you can play cards in sets of however many you want to this deck, which then gives you these chips. So if I just traded a bunch of tea, then these tea chips go loop, 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 loop into my box and they add up to money. The more you have, in fact, if you have four or more, you get a bonus. Some bonus gold for that because you sold more at a time than just one or two or three. And so that's nice. You get this little bonus token. And the goal is to get either run out of cards or run out of tokens. And whenever one of those two conditions happens, somebody wins the game because they have the most gold. If you happen to be the person that does the last move on the cards, you get a bonus 5 to gold. And same with the other guy if he gets it.
You have the most camels too.
Correct. Oh yeah, camels. That's right. It counts all these camels. Camels are like currency to buy stuff from the main pile. So if you've got a bunch of camels and you see, oh, there's 2 gold in the pile and I have 1 gold here, I would really like to get that gold into my hand so I can get all 3 into the sell pile.
They're almost like wild cards, but you don't spend them like wild cards. You trade them like wild
cards. You trade them like wild cards. Very well said. And so you trade these cards, and if this thing's full of camels, you can take the camels and now you've got more camels. Kind of complicated sounding, but honestly, in actual practice, it's not.
It's a really good tutorial too.
Yeah, and it's super simple. You just, you know, you get it right away. It's not like you're going to be struggling with the concept for a long time. Once you get it down, very, very satisfying, fun loop of a game. I really, really like Jaipur a lot, and I know it's based on a tabletop game. Dan was talking about how it's a very popular kind of what he called a fill-in game. Smaller, shorter games that you play between the big monsters at these Gen Cons and things like that. If someone brings a Jaipur deck to Nerdtacular, I'll be thrilled and I will play with you. That sounds awesome because I would love to see this thing in its full-blown glory. The game's made really well, though. It's a nice adaptation. It feels good. It animates well. The music, like I said, really adds to it. Lots of imagery that sort of supports the kind of game that it is. And I've only played AI up to this point. The campaign's interesting because you go to a town where it's like, this only takes one round, but this merchant is 3 full rounds and he has more camels at the start than you do. Like, there's these weird conditions, and that's fun to play with those to figure out what you have to do to take advantage of it. And you find, you know, one guy will only trade camels in for the top 3, the most valuable goods. And he'll never buy any of the other goods. So you could potentially win by getting all the cheaper goods. If you're smart, like, it's really smart that way.
Yeah.
I really like it. I can't recommend it enough. It's Jaipur, spelled Jaipur. It's on iOS and I don't think Android yet, but might be coming there. And well worth your time. I wish I had a simple multiplayer mode where I could just friend Brian and go, let's go.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, play live remotely like that. They have pass and play, so if we were in the same place, we could do the pass and play.
Sure, that's definitely an option. In fact, maybe we'll see. Nerdtacular, just someone needs to bring Jaipur. I want to play that there. Yeah. But anyway, it's really neat, really good, and I want to find more games like it. Somebody out there is hearing this and going, oh, Scott, have I got a list for you then? Maybe Dan is one of those people, but it's totally my style. I like card games where I build a deck and work with a deck, not collect a deck. I freaking hate that.
Yeah.
So this is totally my jam. I dig it. Again, Jaipur. I think it's $2.99. Oh, that's the other thing I like. No free-to-play garbage in it. It's just straight up pay for it.
You don't have to watch ads between each round or things like that.
Just pay for it. You're not buying scrubbly points or freaking monkey berries or any of that bullshit. It's just straight up video game. You just play that thing. It's good. All right, Brian, what do you have?
It's cool because it's another card game, and both of these games are ones you and I have both played, and so we can both speak to this. But the one I'm talking about is Onarim or Onarim, and was that my?
Yeah, it's on your end, whatever that is.
Oh, weird. I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
this is another really cool card game. The object of it is to unlock 8 doors so you can get out of a labyrinth. And the way you do that is by playing sets of cards, and you've got 4 different colored cards as well as 4 different colored cards and different symbols on those cards. And the way you unlock a door is by playing 3 cards of the same color sequentially to the playing field. But you can't play a colored card with the same symbol. So if I played a red sun, I'd have to play a red moon or a red key after it and then play another red sun if I had 2 red suns.
Oh, okay.
And you do that with all 4 colors, red, blue, green, and brown. Also mixed in the deck are monster cards, these black cards, that when they pop up, when you get one of those dealt into your hand, you're given the choice of one of 4 things to do. Number one, you can either get rid of the 5 cards off the top of the deck, and once that deck is empty, your game is over. So you want to have those doors unlocked before the deck is empty. You can give up all the cards in your hand. You can give up a key if you have a key card in your hand, because those are very beneficial for other things. Or you can get rid of a door if you've already unlocked a door and you think you have a good chance of unlocking another one of those doors.
And this is yet another based on an actual card game, right? I believe.
Is it? It seems like it would be, because it seems like you could play this.
Yeah, here it is. Board Game Geek's got it. Looks like it is definitely based on. Oh, so that's interesting to me, because I thought some of the mechanics. I played it too, and some of the mechanics seemed not magical, but you know how Hearthstone numbers will change that.
Yes. Yeah.
That only a video game could do, and it felt like there was some of that here, but maybe I maybe just.
You'd be doing a lot of shuffling and. Boy, I mean, having this on a remote, on a phone, just makes it so much easier to play.
Yeah.
I guess if if you're playing this, actually, I don't even know how you'd play this with a group. This probably would just be a solitaire game. If you were playing it with actual cards.
Yeah,
right?
That must be. Yeah.
I would guess. But anyway, it's really cool. It's one of those things where once you start playing the game, you get a request to sign up. It's a free sign up, but you get some glyphs. I haven't even played the game with glyphs yet. I've been enjoying it without glyphs so far, so I haven't tried it with. But it does force you to kind of think, all right, how quickly could I resurrect my hand if I were to give up all the cards in my hand? Or should I just give up a door? Could I get another door? Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. The music is foreboding and creepy and awesome and worth checking out. It's Onirim. It's really, really good. And
we think it's pronounced Onirim. Is that what we're thinking?
Onirim. Yeah, something like that. Onirim.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, if you like solitaire, don't have to worry about other people kind of games. It's got a lot of interesting things. The one complaint I have, I feel like I got the little weird ghost cat card too much.
Yeah.
And it's okay as a gameplay mechanic, but you have to wait for some excruciatingly long animations to get through it.
Right, because he like floats up and nobody gonna do. And then when you choose what you're gonna do, okay, you're gonna do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
True. You gotta use those keys. I use those keys all the time to figure out what the next 5 cards are gonna be.
Yeah.
So I can get rid of as many of those little ghost cat cards. But
yeah,
the art style on this too is really cool.
Yeah, art style's really neat. It has a nice vibe to it.
Yeah,
It feels like solitaire in that there's luck involved, but you still feel like you're in charge. You know, it doesn't feel like mm-hmm. it's just auto playing itself. It's good. It's
agreed.
A good one.
Yeah.
Both these games are great. Recommended, guys. Honorim and Jaipur.
Jaipur.
We yeah. we decided this week to give you only games that are hard to say.
So. Six letter games that involve cards.
Those are the ones. Those are the ones. All right. Let's play a little of this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Secretary of Energy, Perry there. We're going to talk about the following. We got some Twitter questions from you guys on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTMS and we answer them right here on the show. Chad Willett says, if you guys could write to AskTMS for Todd and Aaron's Morning Stream, what would you ask?
Ooh, like if they had an Ask Todd and Aaron?
Yeah, what would we do?
I would ask, how did you come up with the name, yeah. The Morning Stream?
Yeah, you would ask that, and then I would say, hey, Todd and Aaron, did you Google your name before
you
used
on
it?
Your
or
computer?
Yeah. How'd that go for you? Let us know. Peter Fisher says, knowing
how'd you make that sweet set with the black tablecloth that's obviously covering some sort of laptop stand, Aaron?
Yeah, how's that looking for you? And why are those mics bigger than my face? There's a few questions we have. Peter Fisher says, knowing how much Walmart pays their employees, what percentage of deliveries will be by city bus? Oh, now that's a bit of a judgment call there, Peter.
Oh, that's funny, though. Yeah, I think they're, you know.
You see a guy coming home with your big screen in his lap on a bus? What are you doing?
I got to make a delivery before I go home.
Could you meet me at the intersection of...
No, bring it to my house. That's what I paid for.
No shit, okay.
It's a long walk.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
Maybe I could get a shopping cart on the bus as well.
No offense, Walmart people. We're just
playing. Not at all.
We're playing. Let's see. Laundry Scent says, I always like hearing from Laundry Scent.
That's so fresh.
It is really fresh. Is there a history behind your middle names? Should you have one? Well, I have one. It's Blaine. That's my dad's first name. So Scott Blaine Johnson is my name. And that's it. Just named after my dad. How about you?
My dad wanted to do something clever and make my initials the first three letters of my name. So it's Brian Richard Ibbett, and the initials are B-R-I.
Oh, nice.
And the second letter of Richard is I. So like it's like you can make like a little math square out of it.
Weird.
Which is totally my dad.
You say the word Richard, I don't think of you at
no,
all.
No, I know.
At all. Like my friend Andrew, whose middle name is Andrew, his real name's James. When I found that out, I'm like, you are not James.
Totally not a James. Mm-mm. You're totally an Andrew. Yeah, no, it's the same.
Funky.
Same for me. I don't feel like a Richard.
Nope. You don't feel like a Dick.
Rick. Brian Rick Ibbett.
Oh gosh, Rick. I don't know if that's a good middle name or not. Rick.
Just don't worry about it, Marty. Just get over to the machine here and we'll slice them real quick.
Marty. I was watching that last night. The Council of Ricks episode is so good. Oh my gosh. So good. Okay, here's one. Chris Carrico. So Scott, no more food segment? No, we do it all the time.
Yeah. No, he's saying, you know why he's asking that? Because of your 30-day.
Oh.
Diet.
No, I'll still do it. I'm just tasting things. I'm just not going to be a pig anymore. See, tasting things on the air, no big deal. Eating a whole bag of Cheetos is the problem. Right? That's not...
I'm only going to have one of these during the show, Brian, but as soon as I'm playing Heroes of the Storm and this thing's within arm's reach...
Exactly. It's all about moderation, folks. That's where I'm aiming, okay? This is nothing drastic. It's just me saying, enough is enough. Quit eating like an idiot. Let's suck it up a little, Johnson.
Right.
Sean Dickerson says, Brian, can I get your lemon cake recipes?
Oh, sure.
You make a lemon cake?
I made lemon cake for a party last weekend, a Memorial Day party.
Oh, we talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was lemon cake, and then between was like a... blueberry that I cooked down and raspberries that I cooked down.
Because we talked about Mary Berry and she would like your lovely sponge and all that.
She would like my lovely, soggy bottom.
Yeah.
yeah, I'd have to write it all down. I mean, it was basically three different things that I looked up how to do and combine them. So maybe I just give you links to those.
Joey or Loey D says, what's the best nap you've ever had? Well, that one I was going to try to take today, I didn't do because I've been too busy. Plus, I had those kids here and, you know, I had to do stuff. And by the way, I am so happy to report. So, you know, I keep wanting to say his name, but I don't want to say his name. But he was here today and he's great and was playing solo board games with himself while I was in
Talisman.
Here. And then Sarah, Kim's sister Sarah, brought over Oscar, her little boy. He's 10, so he's 2 years younger. But they got along so well that they just were entertained entirely the entire time with each other. They played that board game for 3 hours. They then moved on to Mario Kart and had a blast. They played that weird pieces puzzle co-op thing on the Switch. What's it called?
Snipper Clips.
Snipper Clips. There you go.
Yeah.
It's where I get my haircut every month. But no, they were just happy as pigs in poo, and then later they were upstairs just talking, and I was shocked because what you're talking about is a kid with severe Asperger's and a kid without any of that and completely, totally getting along, and it was really great to see that. So,
is there any plans, you know, since they're both off for the summer, is there any plans for them to get together every once in a while, play games together and stuff like that?
They want to, so cool. I told them I would be happy to facilitate it, so it went really well. And he's a good kid. He kept asking about the show and stuff. He says, "You're very popular, aren't you?" I said, "Not really." I go, "Sort of a little bit, but it's a tiny little internet corner." And he goes, "How big is your show? About 100 people listen to it?" Like, he's got no concept for this stuff. And I said, "Oh, it's about, I mean, if you count all my shows," he goes, "Yeah." I said, "It's like 500,000 people or something. It's some weird number like that." And I go, "My morning show's like 30,000 a day or some number." And he goes, "Oh, wow, you are famous then." And then we had this big conversation about what actual fame is and why you don't want it and blah, blah, blah. And it was just great. And at the end of this, he said, "Nobody else wants to ask me these questions or answer mine." And it made me feel so bad.
Yeah.
Because that means he's annoying somebody and they don't want to talk. And that makes me angry and sad. And I think he's fascinating. Like, he's got this thing where he's like, "I don't want to offend you or anything," but, and then he'll ask a really pointed question that some might see as inappropriate or not his place to ask or something like that. I like it. Just tell me like it is. I want more people in my life who don't dance around and tell me a bunch of bullshit. Just say
it. Right? Yeah, exactly.
So in this case, you know, well done. Anyway, it was good. Let's move on to, best nap I ever had. I don't think I can name one.
Jeez.
Do you have one? I mean, is it hard? You know, how many naps do you remember?
I'm bad at taking naps because I always feel like, there's something else I should be doing. If I'm sleeping, I'm wasting time. I should be working on such and such.
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
So, yeah, exactly. I'm really bad about naps. So.
I am too generally, but I'll say the best one I ever had was this, maybe because I only remember it recently, but the trip to Vegas this last April when you and I were there, I slept in the car for about an hour and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah. You know, okay. Along those same lines, I took a nap on a flight back after the Vegas trip, not the overnight one that I took, but the podcast awards trip with the funny hat.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now, who can forget? Never forget. Yeah.
Because that trip got extended because the flight was canceled. And and I said, "Well, can you just move me to one tomorrow morning?" Perfect. And then me and another podcaster just went out and hung out late and, you know, went to a few different bars and stuff like that, and ended up having to get up the next morning at 4 a.m. to get to the airport in time.
Oh, my.
The nap I took on the flight back was fantastic.
All right. That's a good one. Yes. Did you go to this bar?
Bearded Fruit.
Was that the bar you went
to? Yeah, it was Bearded Fruit Bar. Okay. Sure. Yes, all right. Exactly. Where they drop skin flakes in your drink. It's really good.
Did they have a band, and after it you said,
"This show is so gay."
That happened, right?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, and then all
who
the way.
Who was the headliner? The headliner was
Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah. And when you came home and on that plane after your nap, you watched a bunch of
bad gay movies.
There you go. I'm all out. I'm all out. Right. That's all I got. Yes. Although today I'm sick of
politics, politics, politics.
There you go. Thanks, Todd. He's the gift that just keeps on giving here.
He really is, yeah.
Bearded Fruit. All right, we're going to ask two more of these. Let's see. Let's do this one. Would Brian rather have Trump hair or his bald head so shiny that it blinds everyone around him? I think this person understands the if.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, all right, so I'm causing people physical pain or I have Trump hair?
Yeah.
Oh, I have physical pain. Fine. It's not my problem. It's, you know. Hey, you know, you get a pair of sunglasses, you're just fine.
Yeah, I like
it. Just get your, it's my,
It's my Norm MacDonald. Yeah, just get yourself a pair of sunglasses. You'll be fine.
Yeah, it's Terrence Ferguson. That's my name.
Right. I'll wear a hat, maybe.
Keith asks again, which reality TV show would Scott compete on as a contestant? Oh, man. Geez, this is hard. Where am I best suited? Probably. I'm good at trivia, but not under the heat of the moment. I kind of clam up when it's like nerdtaculars are always scary for me, because if I'm the deciding factor on something, I freeze up. I'm not, you've seen it. You know how it goes.
Totally have seen it.
For me, probably. Oh, reality show. That's different than a game show.
Not a game show. Reality show.
Okay, that's different.
I don't
different.
See you going to an island for Survivor, because you're going to have to wipe your butt with a leaf, and I don't see that happening ever.
Eating pig scrotums and things.
30 days of constipation. Yeah,
not into that.
You only have to eat pig. They haven't done that more than just 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And they've had like 25 seasons of that show.
Yeah.
I see you on what would be my answer to this as well, which is The Amazing Race.
You think so, huh? Don't I have to be all like physically awesomely fit and stuff for that? Don't they?
Yeah, but are you gonna work Project Runway, Scott? Are you gonna do America's Got Talent? Are you gonna be doing
what else is there?
Face off.
Oh, you know what? Face off or the one of those. I like those. I wouldn't be good at it, because I don't know. I don't do cosplay or makeup, but I mean, you know, I like the creative ones. Those right. I could do. There, somebody in fact recommended. I can't remember, email or Twitter or something, said Brian and you should be watching. What's it called? It's the one about sword making.
What, really?
Yeah, there's one on. I forgot what network,
like
he said.
Blacksmith.
Competition. Some people are making like really refined, like full blown swords, and they're judged on the weight and the balance and the.
Wow.
The straightness and the whatever you do with swords, like all that. That seems pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I want to watch that. That would be a reality show I'd be interested in.
I don't know. You, me, a team on The Amazing Race. We may not win, but we would be the fan favorites.
And we'd have a blast. Yeah. We'd have a blast. Okay, maybe the Great British Bake Off is one I could do.
Oh, yeah.
Low impact. You don't have to live with a bunch of strangers.
Right, you just show up every weekend with your recipes in tow, and
not that I can cook, but I like
hang out with
idea.
Mary Berry.
It's a lovely bun.
Here's one. When I'll say, Kenny says, when you say "doth protest too much," can you pronounce "doth" as "doth"? Is it a thespian thing?
What, so he's wondering,
doth protest too? That's never doth. Is it ever doth?
Doth protest.
Doth he say? Doth he say? No, it's always doth.
Yeah, it's doth protest too
much. Yeah, it's doth protest too much and doth Vader. There you go.
Doth the furniture.
Yeah, doth the furniture before doth Vader gets here. Thomas Silva says, should I be feel guilty after eating a whole Little Caesars pizza and drinking a Diet Coke? Not guilty.
No, after the Diet Coke certainly. Certainly made up for the entire Little Caesars pizza.
Yeah. I think that you should just feel bad, but not in a guilty way. You should live your way you want to live, but you're going to have a stomachache after that, dude.
Yeah. You may be pooping before too long. I'm just saying.
Customer overheard the show, says Jay Goodrich, and says, Scott sounds like Brian from Family Guy. Which celebrities have you been told you sound like? Well, Bill Schwartz on the Core Show has been told he sounds like Seth Rogen, and I agree. Huh. But as for me, I've never been told I sound like Brian from Family Guy.
I've been told that I sound like Ryan Seacrest.
I don't know
if it's true, but I've heard that I sound like Ryan Seacrest.
You sound like your impression of Mad Men selling the
photos. No, that's not my Don Draper.
It's a little like it.
Picture housewife.
It's lower
kids are,
octave.
Kids are at school. It's lower. It's lower. Yeah, and the spacing, the pacing is totally different.
Yeah,
Don gets every sentence out and then pauses a long time.
But do you have it? But do you have sentence. A like our natural voice sounds when you hear me? You don't think, oh, it sounds like so
and
so.
Not at all. There's nobody, and I haven't heard somebody where I think, oh my god, that guy sounds like Scott, because that's what it would be now, right? It wouldn't be Scott sounds like so and so. It's, oh, I've never heard so-and-so talk on a car commercial without seeing his face. He totally sounds like Scott.
Yeah. Sometimes we find people that sound like Dunaway. That's happened.
That's true. Yeah.
Like this one. Let's see.
Nice bag.
No.
You're safe with us.
That's him.
That's exactly what it was. It was Ernest.
Ernest from Ernest Goes to Something Dumb. Oh, Saves Christmas. And that was him.
You're safe with us.
I mean, that may as well be him. It may as well be him.
My scrope.
I gotta go drop off a worm.
He sounds just like him.
Oh, dudes.
All right, there he is. That's going to do it for Ask TMS. Thank you guys for your questions. Hashtag Ask TMS is the one to use. You can use it all week, especially on Thursdays. We'll get to those during the PM edition. If yours didn't get written now, hey, keep writing them. You never know when they're going to make it in. There's no guarantees. Patreon.com/TMS is a place to support us. That's a guarantee. And every time you do, great things happen. Everyone gets their wings. So head over there, patreon.com/TMS. For all else, frogpants.com/TMS as always. You'll find every link and thing you need right there. Bryn, we're done. Let's be done. Cool. You want to?
A request? Yeah. Sure. I'll turn this one over to Ryan Seacrest, who will deliver this request.
Great. Do it.
Hi, Brian. My fiance and I are getting married on July 1st, 2017, and are trying to find the perfect first dance song. I'm not going to do this whole thing like that. That's what I've been workshopping, though.
Okay.
This is the morning stream. They want to find the perfect first dance song. We have settled on doing the Foxtrot. We're currently taking lessons now, but we can't decide on what music to use. Many of your songs that you've selected to play on the show are going to be featured at our wedding, including Lounge Kitten's version of Africa and Streetlight Cadence Rooftops. That's right.
Yeah.
My fiance and I were wondering if you could recommend a first dance song. We trust your musical judgment and wisdom to guide us both. Thank you, Brian and Kelly Rose. Yes. So I had to do a little bit of research, right? Because I didn't know what made a foxtrot a foxtrot. And a foxtrot is quick, quick. No, I'm sorry. It's slow, slow, quick, quick. Slow, slow, quick,
quick. Slow, right? Slow, quick, quick. I like it.
Right, exactly. And so I found a website. I did some searching and found a website that says, hey, here are some great modern songs that that work in that kind of speed. And, of course, I can't just pick from that site because they're not covers. But I decided to do the combination of a song that would work for a foxtrot combined with a song that would work for a wedding. And one that has a message that you guys would like to say probably at your wedding.
Hmm.
And the triumvirate of rivers, or the, what is it? The confluence of rivers all met up at this cover right here. So American Authors have a song, Best Day of My Life, most famous song by American Authors. And that's a great, sweet up song. You probably were going to be playing it at your wedding if you had a DJ that was going to be playing songs. I could see that one being played. However, as a first dance song, you maybe want something a little bit more with more flourish. So how about the version by the Vitamin String Quartet? This one came out on a CD called came out on an 8-track called VSQ Performs the Hits of 2014 Volume 1. It's you know, a bunch of Vitamin String Quartet covers of the pop songs from that year. This one's great, and I think, number one, it would fit with being a first dance and being a string music song that the older people would like, oh, this is a lovely song. The younger people would be like, oh, I totally know this one.
Yeah.
And you guys can say, hey, this is a foxtrot, and this is the best day of our life. Mm. Here are the Vitamin String Quartet players with Best Day of My Life.
All right, before I hit play, I just want to say this. We got a quick note in here on Twitter from Weston Wright. Beep, 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 beep. He says the show we're looking for is called Forged in Fire, and it's on the History Channel, and it rocks, he says.
Cool. Forged in Fire. I'm going to look for that. I think I get that as part of my PlayStation View subscription.
Me as well. I believe I even have back episodes on there, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, let's make it happen, everybody. It's the best day of your life, my life, and this song's life. We'll see you on Monday.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't have a thing to click.